Reservable. It's the reservable. It's the reservable. It's the reservable. Coming to you every day.
Welcome back to the Reset Rebel podcast with me, Jo Yule. And for today's episode, we have a very special guest joining me to celebrate the first birthday of Jatayu, an Indian restaurant which is situated in the marina of Santalaria. It's just popped up exactly 12 months ago today. So I'm very excited to introduce you to one quarter of Melon Bomb and DJ, resident of High and Universe, and God only knows where else he's going to be playing this summer. I'm sure he's got plenty of magic tricks up his sleeve. Mr. Paul Reynolds, welcome to the Reset Rebel.
Hey Joe, how you doing? Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. I've been trying to get you into my evil podcast clutches for quite some time now, and finally we've managed to do it. And not only are we getting together for some podcasting, we're going to eat a delicious, lovely lunch.
I know, we are very, very excited about this. I've heard so many good things about this place, and I love a curry. So yeah, I think we're in for a real treat.
I mean, you don't just love a curry. I did notice on your social media that you're a bit of a passionista in the culinary stakes when it comes to a curry, as you call it.
Yeah, oh my God, I do love a curry as good as the next man. But yeah, I mean, curry holds a massive, massive place in my heart. When lockdown came about, I started a little company off called Grub Club. I had no, not all the clubs were closed, I had no work, I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? So I started up a vegetarian food delivery service. We put a menu out each week, and yeah, and we kicked off. It was lots of Indians, lots of Lebanese, we'd done all kinds of lovely things. And yeah, it went from like 30 people to start off with, and then in the end we're doing like 160 people a week. So it was crazy from our little kitchen on a Friday. We'd only do it on a Friday. Now everyone would get heating instructions, and off we go. I had some of the club managers, I had DJs, all wanting to deliver for us. We had everyone delivering all over the island, giving €50 in the curry. Yeah. So it was incredible times. Yeah, loved it. So yeah, curry helped me out through lockdown, definitely.
I think in India they say, don't worry, eat curry.
I think that's a great one, yeah. And in Greece they say, everything's better with feta. No, no.
It's true though, basically. And I feel like, you know, curry is just one of those very comforting foods. So in lockdown times, for sure, I think probably the world turned to, you know, our national pride, really. I mean, you know, in England, obviously, where we're both from, I think it's something that they seem to think that they do extremely well. But until you actually go to India, where I've been many, 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 many times, you kind of realise that it's pretty good, but it ain't the same.
Yeah, I've India is definitely on my bucket list to go to. I would love, really, really love to go. But I think we're going to get pretty close to this beautiful restaurant today, aren't we?
Well, yeah, I think we're both in for a bit of a treat. But I actually just got back from Goa as well. So I feel like, yeah, this is going to be the next second best. I think we should probably get into a bit of ordering before we start the real conversation about the other wonderful things that you do on Ibiza. And I think we've got Anuj, the owner, coming over to take our order. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good to see you here. Welcome, both.
Thank you for having us. Yeah, very, very, very excited. So many people talking about this restaurant. So, yeah, I'm very, very, very happy to be here.
Me too. I wholly concur. Everything he said.
Awesome. Music to my ears, quite literally. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's just our first year coming up to our 1 year anniversary, and all the love we've received on the island. It's been kind of amazing. So, yeah, I'm glad to have you here. So, what do you fancy tonight?
Paul, you're the guest. What would you like to order for starters?
Oh, well, do you know what? I think I'm going to let you girls decide. I am here. My taste buds are open, and I'm ready to rock. So yeah, I think some nice spicy chicken, some lamb, maybe a lamb vindaloo. Yeah, I think you recommended a beautiful chicken dish.
I think we're going for a chicken tandoori and a lamb jangali and a chicken.
Chettinad. Yeah, that's a good one.
Chettinad.
Chicken chettinad, indeed. It's kind of actually a very special recipe from Tamil Nadu, so we'll definitely get that there. So for the starters, you have your chicken 65 and your prawn pakoras. and your tandoori chicken for the mains, along with chicken chettinade and jungly lamb, which is actually also very, very nice recipe. And we'll do a bullet naan and a cheese and garlic naan. Or did you want the Peshwari naan in the end?
I've literally never seen a place in Ibiza doing Peshwari naan, so I am a little bit excited to be eating one of those today.
All right, let's do a Peshwari naan and with some saffron flour rice, and of course we'll kind of keep that flowing. So, all right.
What's in the lamb, jungly lamb?
So jungly lamb is actually a special recipe from the tribal regions where they don't necessarily have access to a lot of cooking equipment and gas. So they what they do there is the lamb is slow cooked over a wood fire for, you know, 4 to 6 hours, and they have some whole spices to hand, and it's a very rustic dish, and that's the recipe we've got here. So we try to add our best to do justice to and replicate that here. So that's exactly what we do. So I think it's a good one for you to try.
Thank you very much indeed. Very excited. And just lastly, with the chicken chettinad, what's in that?
Chicken chettinad. It's a recipe from Tamil Nadu, and it's a desiccated coconut with whole spices roasted together, so everything gets infused, and then it's ground together, and that's really where the flavor and the heat sort of comes from. It doesn't really have a lot of chili, but the whole spices lend a lot of heat to it, so you have a very nice broad breadth of flavors coming through, bit of a gritty texture because of the coconut, but it's not sweet because there's no coconut milk in it, and that is used as the base for cooking the chicken in. So it's actually quite nice, very, very nice dish.
Well, that's wet the whistle. I'm actually salivating now, Paul. What about you?
Oh my God, I am so, so excited. I'm ready for it. I've not had breakfast yet, so there's plenty of room. Ready for action. Yeah.
A bit of intermittent fasting is probably definitely what we need. Thank you, Anuj. We are ready for it. I actually did a cooking course when I was in Goa, actually, with a guy called Raul in a place called Palalim. And I could not remember how to make any of the dishes at all. But what we did eat at the end of it was like about a 7-course meal, and it was just outstandingly good. So I'm quite inspired to hear, how did you kind of end up making all those vegetarian dishes in lockdown? Was it just like self-taught, or how did that come about?
Do you know what? I've the whole family is into cooking. I've grown up with my mum's an incredible cook. Oh my God, she just does it with so much ease, you know. Oh, like she's amazing. Best roast potatoes as well. I've got to say this because she'll slap me around the chops if I don't. Written out the will and everything. Yeah. she's an amazing cook, as was my nan. And I just grew up around it and like helping out in the kitchen. And it's just been a passion. It was just a natural thing to do was to cook. We've done a lot of travelling, and my mum and dad used to have a riad over in Marrakesh. So we used to go over there, do some cooking courses over there. And like, it's just something that I've been around for years. And yeah, I think it really helped when lockdown came about and we got into Grub Club. So, now my new thing is I've got a little bit addicted to dough. Addicted to dough, so and pizzas and stuff. So I've started off a new channel. Alongside my DJ one called Beats and Pizzas, so that's going to grow as a cooking channel. We're going to be interviewing DJs, chefs, making them favourite pizzas, playing some music in our house, and yeah, so that's going to be quite cool over the summer.
It's quite funny you should say that, because we were just before we started recording, you were talking about hanging out with DJ Tennis, and I was the audio producer on Seth's new podcast called Flirting with Friendship. Little advert there for you, Seth. But one of the guys that we obviously had, and Seth has a massive like passion for cooking as well, was DJ Tennis, and he came, and Seth had been like shopping for some Wagyu steak, which they cooked in an air fryer. I was horrified.
Oh my God, that's terrible. Tennis. Not happy about that. Apparently, they're actually opening a restaurant together in Ibiza town, aren't they? So let's hope the Wagyu's not cooked in the air fryer there. But he's got such a mad love for food, hasn't he? And yeah, I think a lot of DJs have. It kind of comes hand in hand with everything, doesn't it? Cool.
I think it's quite interesting that you bring that up about the being addicted to dough and doing the beats and pizzas. And yeah, there are just a lot of like DJs out there that seem to be very handy in the kitchen. And I have to say, the Wagyu was delicious in the air fryer. We were all just like, the whole crew were just like vultures in the kitchen, just like scoffing the whole thing. I think you kind of went on a bit of a health kick not so long ago. I saw some dramatic weight loss happen, and it seemed like you were on some mad health kick. Was it last year?
Yeah, we kind of, do you know what? I got back from, I think it was last year. Last year we got back from Thailand. And I remember looking at a picture of myself. I was like, oh my God. Yeah, we'd had like 6 weeks away. We'd eaten our way around Thailand. It was one of my friend's 50th birthdays as well. Yeah, we consumed a lot of alcohol. And yeah, everything just got a little bit too much. So I was like, right, I'm going to get back. And I went on a bit of a health kick. We'd done like the Ibiza 12K. And yeah, I ended up losing about 4 stone, which was good. Struggling to keep it, you know, keep it off at the minute. But yeah, I want to do another couple, and that will be good. Yeah.
I mean, I think we're going to have a good crack at putting it straight back on again today.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah. And all these pizzas I'm making, it's like my wife's like, oh my God. But yeah, I think we're going to have a good lunch today. Definitely.
I think you're right. But I kind of like would love to hear a bit more about where it all began, sort of in St Anne, really, for you, because that was kind of where you cut your sort of DJ teeth, if you will, when you left Southport.
Yeah, so we moved over here. I've been resident and DJ in Southport for like 10 years. We were going to take my wife's salon where she worked over. And on the same day, we found out that the people didn't want to sell a salon. And the place where I DJed, they were selling. So we were like, oh my God, what are we going to do with our lives? And we just both said, you know what, we haven't done a lot of travelling. Let's go to Ibiza for a year. My wife had never been. We sold up, and then we moved out here, and we rented an apartment for the first few years, and started in San Antonio in a little club in the West End. Oh my God, like 7 nights a week, 6 months, like one night off for our anniversary. It was hard work. It was really, really hard work. And then the next year after that, I got into plastic, which was a little bit of a step up, and you know, that was quite good. And then a couple of years after that, Mr. Doris, one of the DJs on the island, he had a mix of mine in the winter, and booked me for space. And I was like, oh my God, I literally cried my eyes out. Oh my God, like, it was like, I think because it had been such hard work over here. And I was thinking, oh, I'm just going to do weddings maybe, because I wasn't enjoying the whole West End thing. I was like, oh, this is not me musically. Like,
how was it?
It was horrendous. It was horrendous. Oh my God, like, I come to Ibiza with all like my cool music thinking, oh yeah, this is going to be good. And then you just get shoved there. And I was like, do you know what? Like, I think it's been like a game. Everything's slot into place, like a jigsaw, since we got here.
We have an arrival of the chicken.
And this is the prawn pakora, yeah? This one comes with the yogurt and garlic coriander chutney and the tamarind chutney. So, yeah, please.
Amazing.
Enjoy.
Thank you. Oh, wow, look at this. It looks beautiful. Like, very, very, very exciting. But let's finish this story about space. So, sorry, Mr. Doris heard your mix. Yeah, basically invited you.
Yeah, he had a CD. You remember CDs? Yeah.
Back in the day, after the mini disc.
Yes, yeah. So he had that, and he booked me for space, and it was oh my God, it was just incredible. So I got my first gig there, played for Mr. Doris, and then
which night was that?
It was Sundays at Space, which was
the
epic thing. And he ran a party called After Dark, which was like I think after like 12 o'clock, when the terrace got a little bit more chilled and it was a bit more funk and soul, and it was cool. And then I got made resident for Kekuma then, which was pretty epic. So I did that, and then got my resident for Ushuaia, and then it's just been a running thing from there, and with the Ushuaia group. So yeah, Ushuaia High Universe, and then obviously Melon Bomb. So yeah, it's been.
I mean, what was that like when you did your first gig at Space?
It was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying. The Sunday gig was amazing. That was really.
Was this on the terrace?
On the terrace, yeah, with Mr. Doris. That was a really, really like dream come true. And then the second time I got booked was for Kekuma. So the terrace finished at 12 o'clock and they wanted me to do like 12 till 6. The music volume gets lowered and they wanted me to play funk and soul and bring it down, you know, and just to kind of do like a bit of a chill out thing on there. But me being the first time, I just like, I started straight away. I didn't let people filter out at 12 o'clock. And so I just come on with funk and soul after someone had been banging it in there and I got booed. I was like, oh my God, I'm just here to play like a chilled set. And it like, oh, I remember just shaking and everything. But I got asked back the week later and I let the room filter out a little bit and then started with the funk and the chill out set. And it was amazing.
To be honest, after listening to someone bang it out for the last God knows how many hours, I'd have been delighted to hit some funk and soul. That would have made my day.
It was really good times, and like everything, I was just saying it's been like a little jigsaw puzzle, and all the pieces have fitted in since we moved to Ibiza. It's been amazing, and each year everything just gets better and better. So yeah, amazing, love it. Yeah.
Well, what a transition from the West End to space. I mean, literally. I was actually being interviewed for something we're going to do at the Standards and Panels called Nightcappers, talking about, you know, community and inclusion and equality and diversity in the world of nightlife. And one of the things that we were sort of saying is, you know, or they were asking me was, when do you think, you know, when was that moment that you think the nightlife scene on Ibiza like really, really changed? And I think, you know, that was really the beginning of, not the end, but the end of like outdoor kind of, you know, the possibility to have these kind of moments, I think, in a very open air space, yeah. You know, because obviously now we've seen a lot of major, major changes across the, you know, the whole island with Cetrincha, like having sort of restrictions. And, you know, we understand the reasons behind some of this, but that was really that moment, I think, when, you know, DC10, Space, all those places that had that outdoor terrace environment were very much, you know, a whole new world, I think, you know, was born on Ibiza.
Definitely. I think we were lucky enough to have like the most magical times here, weren't we? It was like, I remember doing the space closing. I was the last DJ on the terrace there, and I knew it was such a final moment, because that was the end of it. We were allowed to play till 12 o'clock in the afternoon. I got on it. I played for 8 hours anyway. It was a long set. And it was magical, and I knew that was kind of it then for and then everything changed, like with Cetrincha and like the bars and everything. So we were really very, very lucky to experience all the times we did, I think. Yeah,
that's so cool. I was there. I don't remember that, but then I think that night was quite large.
Yeah, so Carl Cox in the main room, and I was out on the Sunset Terrace. Yeah, so I think everyone had half an hour that night, but because I was the last DJ, they just ran with it, and I think they thought it'd probably filter out when it didn't, and it carried on till 12 o'clock. And then they were kind of like, Paul, you have to stop now. Pepe said stop because Carl needs to play the last record. And I was like, no, I want to play it. So in the end, they ended up just switching the power off in there, because I didn't want to stop playing. I knew this was like the final space ever. And I was like, oh, I think we cried 3 times through the set, and it was so magical. So yeah, Carl did play the last record, and I fought till the end.
Good for you. I think that it was worth fighting for, to be fair. Like, we it's you can't compare like things as they were to how they are now. Things evolve and things change and new things happen, and you know, change is a good thing, but ultimately those were very, very, very happy, wonderful, warm, glorious memories, and I will never, never forget. You know, that's why I live here, really.
Yeah. Oh my God, definitely. I mean, I think it was such an escape, wasn't it? But I think even like the kids that are coming now, the young people that are coming now, they didn't have that. So they are having the best time of their lives in Ibiza in a different way, aren't they? It's a lot more corporate now. But I think the younger generation want more out of clubbing. We like the rustic vibe of it, didn't we? We like dancing on the terrace just with the sun, and like we were quite simple, but we loved it, didn't we? We like, you know, it was insane. But I think the younger generation, they want the glitz and the glamour. They want a rope, don't they? They want bottle service, and that's them having their time of their lives, isn't it? So I just think it's a generational thing. Like we got the best of it for our generation, and they are all also having a lovely time, I think. So yeah.
Exactly. I think we're all going to have a lovely time. And telling you what, we need to get into this delicious, divine-looking food, which we've naughtily allowed to sit there for more than a nanosecond. So we've got the prawn pakora and the chicken 65. I think we should try the chicken first. What do you think?
I think so, yeah. Oh, chicken looks incredible, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, that looks beautiful. So we've got a couple of dips here. We've got a mint and a tamarind dip. Do you want to go first? Ladies first?
If you insist. It's quite a large piece of chicken there. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to hold my microphone and dip that in there. Thank you, Paul.
That's all right.
Okay, I'm going in.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah. That's a bit special, isn't it?
There's kind of a rule really against sort of eating and podcasting at the same time. No one really wants to listen to
it. Was chewing, do they? No. Nom, 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 nom.
This is too good though, not to sort of eat and podcast at the same time.
Beautiful, and the little curry leaves on the top. Oh my god, yeah, that's insane. Yeah, very, very beautiful. And different flavours as well. I think you can go to a lot of Indian restaurants and they're all very similar, aren't they? But this has got a little bit of love in it.
The menu is actually massive and it was very, very difficult to choose. As I was waiting for you, I was just like, oh my god, how can you decide? But I think the flavour profile of that is quite tangy, actually, almost.
Yeah, it's really, really tangy. Yeah, like I was saying, these little crispy curry leaves on the top. And I think they've got some, what's it, the methi? What's methi called?
Anoush.
Yes. What is it? What's methi? Fenugreek. Fenugreek leaves. A little it's got fenugreek leaves in there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There we go.
You know your stuff.
Ah, yeah.
You know your ingredients.
It's
that's good.
Beautiful. It was so beautiful. I was just saying, a lot of restaurants kind of have the same flavour profile, don't they? But this is stunning. Absolutely stunning.
Nice to hear that.
Yeah. Enjoy. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Right, so we've got to the bottom of the fenugreek seeds. Let's dig into the prawn pakora.
As I know, yeah, it's the only one.
I was like, what is he talking about? You haven't even had a drink, it's just me.
I know. Joe's away. Whoop, whoop, come on.
I have to say, though, that I'm going to have one more little sip of that in between intercourse. I'm going between one starter to the other. I'm going to try my espresso martini. You're going into the prawns.
Oh my god, they're beautiful.
Yeah,
a juicy prawn. Yes, fantastic. They're really good. Really, really good. Wow. So one year of this restaurant then. Yeah. All right. I can't believe we've not made it up here. Don't travel up to this end of the island too much, and I'm so happy we're here. Yeah, I'm gonna be bringing the family here a lot.
Well, I just think it's like one of those restaurants that, I don't know, I think traditionally curry houses, you know, seem to be like a more sort of relaxed and very kind of, like a small, intimate, you know, when I actually lived at the top of Brick Lane for many, many years in London. I lived in Shacklewell Street right next to the basketball courts. Always.
That was pretty incredible, isn't it? Oh, my Lord.
That was so dangerous, that being open 24/7. Yeah. Like, literally would go there at the end of a night out and have a salt beef bagel with buckets of English mustard and literally blow my face off.
It's just stunning, isn't it? I would take a trip to London just for that. It's absolutely beautiful. And yeah, you know what? I've been there at like 5 a.m. And I've diverted myself on the way back to a hotel after a gig and everything just to go and have a bagel.
So dangerous. I would wake up with like English mustard like all over my bed. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
But when you live next door to it, it's like rude not to. And then wake up in the morning on a Sunday and have another one because they're just too good. That is pretty much, I would say, when the curry journey began for me, like living there and living in such an Indian community and a lot of, you know, delicious smells and flavours. But just going there felt, you know, just like something on my doorstep and very natural and organic. But I think this restaurant somehow feels a little bit more zhuzhy and a little bit more, I don't know, like it's a real treat to come here. It's not it doesn't have the same feeling.
Elevated the flavours, haven't they, in here? Yeah, which is amazing, which is really, really good. Yeah, I think the island really needed it. Definitely. We did need a really good curry house and... I'm not slagging off any of the others. Yeah. Just saying, this is very, very special. Up your game, guys. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I think, you know, you can sit here and obviously we can see the beautiful super yachts and, you know, very highfalutin society floating in the distance and bobbing up and down, which I quite like that noise actually of the tinkling mast. I used to work on a yacht for a while when I was backpacking in Australia in Airlie Beach, and we used to go around the Whitsunday Islands. But there's something very comforting about seeing that mast and knowing that I don't have to get in the helmsman's chair and go up and retrieve the ropes that I was always dropping and my skipper was going mental at me. So I'm feeling quite happy.
How did you deal with the seasickness?
I never got seasick. I think that's why he gave me the job, because I went on like a 3-day, 2-night trip around the Whitsundays, and he sent me down a few times to make drinks for people or make him a cup of tea or whatever while we were there. And he was like, you're literally the only person that's ever been able to go under the deck and not vomit, or not feel nauseous when you come back up. Yeah. And you haven't even spilled the drops. So he was like, do you want a job? And I was like, absolutely.
Oh, that's incredible.
That was an easy yes for me.
When I was 16 and I went on work placement, you know, in school, as you do, from a family of they've all worked on the docks and ships and this, that, and the other. So the natural thing was for me to go out on a tugboat for the day. Oh my God, I was so seasick. So hence me never going down that line of work. Yeah, and now I'm a DJ living in Ibiza, far away from the Mersey docks. Yeah. And any tugboats, yeah. And it was a horrendous day, very rough. But I'm not great at sea.
No. I think you either are or you aren't. It's not something you can cultivate or work on. It's like some people just are not natural sea people, and they have sea legs or they don't. I'd come back from 3 days, 2 nights, and literally get onto dry land, and I'd still be in my bunk bed that night in my hostel or whatever, just rocking. You know, it was a really weird feeling, but it was so nice to get back on dry land.
Yeah, you can see the room moving, can't you? Yeah. Pretty cool. It's a bit like a Saturday night in Ibiza, isn't it?
The room is moving.
Yeah, the room is moving, yeah.
Well, especially in the old wild corner. I'm sure it gets pretty wild in there.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, that is, without a doubt, one of my favourite places to play in the whole world. I do black coffee on a Saturday there, and I get to play the whole night. So it's six and a half hours. Really get to take everyone on it's such a DJ cliche saying this, but it's take everyone on a musical journey. You've got full control of them, and I put a lot of effort into planning that set, months of preparation, of collecting music and finding out where it's going to go, because you don't want to peak too soon. I think it really, really pays off, because the vibe and the energy in there is incredible, absolutely incredible. I remember many years ago, the first time I come to Ibiza, and I went to Manumission, which is actually they're coming back this year, aren't they? I seen a DJ called Colin Peters in Manumission, and he absolutely blew my mind. And I thought to myself, I want a DJ like him. I want everyone to experience what I felt that night. So every time I do a set in Wild Corner or anywhere else, but particularly there, because I get to play exactly what I want. I always have that night in mind and want to take people on that sort of journey. I love it. So I'm back there this year, and also back at my Friday nights at Universe, and Mondays at Ushuaia, and Melon Bomb. Also, I've got our monthlies at Pikes, which is going to be pretty cool, and we have just got some exciting news about doing Carl Cox on a Sunday. So we are taking over the Wild Comet there every Sunday.
The Wild Comet.
Wild Comet. So it's like the Wild Corner, but it's the Wild Comet in Universe. And so Skepta was doing it last year. And Skepta's actually moved to the club room in High this year, because Damien Lazarus has moved on. And we've been granted the amazing task of taking on all the Sundays there.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Epic. I mean, you can't beat the... Yeah. One of the kings of Ibiza, who obviously, I guess after Space Close, I thought that would be the end of perhaps seeing him here with a residency. But I was absolutely astounded to see that he was returning last year, and very, very, very happy, because he's absolutely the don of the island, really, in many ways.
He's amazing, isn't he? I think, do you know what, it's kind of like one of them special Sunday things. Like people love going out on a Sunday on the island. It's always been when the islanders kind of venture out, and I feel like if that kind of ritual thing is happening again. You know, Carl Cox is back and Sundays are back, and I think that you're getting your real people who are really into the music going out on them particular nights. And yeah, it's a big honour for us to be doing the Sundays there. And yeah, we're going to take it and smash it. It's going to be good. Yeah.
I think it was interesting for me to see, obviously, you know, when I first started to see Mel and Bond playing in the Wild Corner, you know, it was very much a community feel. And like, obviously, you know, you guys are all from here, you all live here. And it's like, you know, a lot of people that I know are always like there, you know, hanging out in the toilets, essentially, which I love. I love that concept that there's just basically, that is just one giant bathroom. It's incredible. I don't know who came up with that idea, but it is actually genius. But the fact that, you know, you've also played there like so many, many times on your own. And I kind of wonder, like, what's the difference between the two experiences?
So Saturday nights, it's a little bit more underground when I play for the Black Coffee night. And then we've been resident for Glitterbox for many years, and that's where Mel and Bond plays on the Sundays. So it's a little bit more disco-y, a little bit more housey. But we've kind of moved away from the disco sound now. I think it's, you know, I think it's kind of, oh my god, like disco's integrated in all the music we listen to. But we've kind of like keeping up the times, you know, and like I just don't want to rehash old music all the time, you know. We want to move forward. So yeah, unfortunately we've pulled away from the whole Glitterbox vibe this year. They've moved on to Amnesia now. And we've got the Carl Cox residency starting. So yeah, it's really aligning with where we're going musically wise. And we've got our PAX residency as well, once a month there. So we've got some incredible guests lined up, and yeah, so I think it's 11 years now at Pikes. Yeah, pretty incredible. Very exciting.
We're going to take a pause so you can actually eat this delicious food. It feels a tragedy to let it go completely cold, and continue this after a very short pause. Attention. So we're just popping in here to wish Jatayu a very, very happy first birthday, which is today, the 23rd of April. If you want to celebrate with us, please join us at the bar here for a free drink on us. Just say the word Reset Rebel, wish Anuj a very happy first birthday in his beautiful restaurant endeavours, and get to know him. Have a little chat with him at the bar. Or his wonderful staff. They'll be very happy to welcome you. So that's Reset Rebel at the bar for a free drink to celebrate the first birthday of Jatayu. Thanks so much. Back to the conversation, but more importantly, back to the food with Paul Reynolds.
So we just out of Chicken 65 and the Prawn Pakora. I'm absolutely, my mouth is on fire, but it was delicious.
Oh my god, the flavours are insane in this place. Yeah, I definitely think the chicken was for me, but the prawns were very good. Now I'm looking at our main courses, absolutely drooling. Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
Ridiculous. Very excited to get stuck into round two. And I'm pretty excited, as I said, I think at the beginning of all of this, that the Peshwari Naan has arrived in Ibiza. I've not seen another restaurant on the whole island that has that on the menu, have you?
No, I love a Peshwari naan as well. Oh my god. And this, what's this one called? A bullet naan. I think this is cheese and chilli. Oh, I mean, epic. We have got a pure feast in front of our eyes. So we have some chicken tandoori on the bone, which looks lovely. We've got the is it the jungly lamb?
Jingly lamb, yeah. That looks very, very, very rich and delicious in that yummy sauce.
Everything looks incredible, doesn't it? Oh my god, and the chicken. Chicken chutney. Okay. See, I have problems saying these things, but
I think we're going to get shot for the pronunciation of that one, but we're going with it. We're going with it.
Yeah, but
you say it with confidence, it's fine.
We can eat well though, can't we? Yeah, yeah, we can definitely enjoy it better than we can say it.
I think we're going to destroy this delightful platter of Indian delights.
We are definitely. What are we going for first?
I'm thinking the jingly jangly lamb.
Yes, let's go. Let's get in.
Let's do it. Let's get involved.
Yeah.
Okay, you first.
Okay. I will serve you up. So I'm a gentleman, you know.
We've gone from beets to jangly lamb.
Beets to jangly lamb. It's all jingle jangles, isn't it? Right, this looks a bit special. So you're going to go in and have a little try?
I'm definitely going in.
All right. There we go. See, what you can't see, everybody, is Jo has a little trick of trying to keep me talking while she's shoveling food into her mouth. So I'm going to
ruin it.
I'm going to turn the tables on her. I know I'm the one getting interviewed, but you know.
I'm going to ask a really detailed question now.
I can feel it coming. Yeah. And I'm just going to stare at you eating. Yeah.
It's going to be some awkward pauses here, guys. Okay. Let's do this.
So let's just talk about the Peshwari there for a moment.
Oh, the Peshwari's got it all going on. Look, she's got this microphone lingering while she's at it. No, it's incredible. It's got all the sweetness and, oh my God, yeah. It's got everything we need.
I think for me it's the coconutty, desiccated coconut. You just can't beat that, really. I have to say, the combo of that with the kind of quite fruity, delicious, spicy slow-cooked lamb, it must be, because that is literally just falling to pieces right in my mouth and melting.
I think this has been cooked for a good few hours, hasn't it? Oh my God, it's literally just falling apart in my mouth. It's incredible, absolutely incredible. That sauce is so thick and juicy. Oh, yeah. Is it coming across? It's like an M&S advert.
but worse,
yeah. I just haven't got that sexy voice, unfortunately. But
well, Seth has this feature that he does called Get In My Mouth, which I thought was quite entertaining.
Who does that?
Seth Troxler.
Oh, okay. Oh, brilliant. I like that. That is really good.
I remember when I went to snowbombing once upon a time, and there was always, the party was in the kebab house. It would always be Eats Everything that would be there right next to this big old pile of God only knows what it was on a stick that they serve up in those types of establishments. But, you know, raving hard, playing great, great music, and people just basically stuffing their faces with huge, enormous doner kebabs.
Oh, my God. I absolutely love a doner kebab. Actually, when I was DJing in Plastic, we invested in a restaurant next door. It was the Head Candy Bar to start with, and we had the little, it was held about 30-40 people, and we invested that, and we had a kebab shop in the night time as well, just serving people coming out of Eden and Plastic, and we actually got one of the really good butchers on the island to make us a lamb doner kebab. Oh my God, like, I think I ate the profits. Honestly, at the profits, it was incredible, absolutely incredible. Yeah, but yeah, we didn't make any money, unfortunately.
At the profits,
I ate the profits. Yeah, I do love a kebab. It's one of the great things. And so we invested in this restaurant, and I obviously had a love for cooking, but On like the second, I think the second day we opened, the chef was ill. So we're like, Paul, like you need to get in. So I went in and I was doing breakfast and this, that, and the other. And then one of the owners come in. He said, Paul, you need to go next door. We've got a boat party. And I'm like, I'm trying to cook, and he's trying to make me DJ. And I was like, just let me finish these orders off. And it was kind of nearly the end of service. So I'm like, I'm boshing these burgers out and everything. Oh my God. So I grabbed a tub of pickles. Have I told you this story? I've probably not told you this story. So I grabbed a tub of pickles off the shelf, and they fell on me. A really large jar of pickles. So I'm covered in pickle juice. I've got Andy Matthews, who owns Plastic. He's like, come on, kid, get on the decks. I'm like, mate, I'm covered in pickle juice.
I'm in a pickle here.
I'm in a absolute pickle. So I ran in the back in the office. I said to Rebecca, she was one of the owners. I was like, what? Have you got a t-shirt for me? She had a small size Nuts magazine t-shirt. Right. So she gives it me, and I've got my belly's hanging out. I've got like this 3/4 length top on with Nuts magazine plastered across it. And I had to go and DJ in Plastic for a pre-party for a boat, stinking of pickle juice with this tiny little Nuts t-shirt on it, honestly.
After 6 months of lamb kebabs in you.
Yeah, exactly. It definitely wasn't one of the highlights of my career.
Could you see your toes?
No, could I? No, definitely not.
I haven't seen them for years.
Not a chance. Yeah, it was well paid for. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. They were the best lamb kebab ever.
Speaking of pickles, you know what we're missing here?
We do need
Anoush, would you be so kind as to perhaps furnish the table with some of your finest pickles?
Coming up.
We were just talking about him getting into a pickle, so it felt like the right moment to... Have you got lime pickle?
We have mixed pickles. Homemade, yeah. Very good. I'll bring that out now.
Thank you so much. You see, ask and you shall receive. This is like a magic restaurant.
I do love a pickle. Yeah, I make a lot of pickles at home. People's a pickle for sure. They are. It's a song in that, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, so I do. Yeah, I make a lot of pickles at home. Like, I do these beautiful jalapeno ones, all for my pizzas. Going back to my pizzas again. Beats and pizzas coming soon. So yeah, I make all kinds of like lovely chili pickles, lime pickles, anything we can pickle in the house, we pickle it. Yeah, I love it.
It's a great way, I think, of you know, keeping things a little bit sustainable in the kitchen there, because you think how often you chuck stuff in the bin. I don't know, I really try extremely hard, even if something looks like it's vaguely rotting at the back of the fridge, like a carrot or something, I'll always try to save it and do something with it, because I don't know what it is, but I don't like to throw food away.
God, no, nothing goes to waste in our house. No, I mean, if anything's left, my wife can rustle up anything. I'm like that. I'm the cook who's like doing fancy things. But if there's anything left at the end of the day, she's rustling it up, definitely.
Oh my God, the lime pickles arrived. Are you ready?
Look at that.
Jesus, that is totally homemade. Look at that. There's no way that came out of a jar.
Now that looks a real deal, isn't it? So should I put some onto your plate?
Please do.
Okay.
We're sort of tag teaming here with me holding the microphone and you dishing out the pickles.
There we go.
I think I'm going to end up in a pickle after that one.
We are going to have steam coming out of our ears in a minute. I think, what's this? Oh, God, is that like a green bean? Or this is like a little lovely mixed pickle, isn't it?
Yummy. Okay, yes, you go.
Right. That's a chilli. That's a chilli.
Oh, was it?
Yes. That was a chilli, and it was, oh my God, it was beautiful.
You're not crying yet, though.
I'm not crying.
It wasn't hot enough. Anoush!
I am really good with my heat, honestly. Yeah, and so is my little boy. My little boy, Henry, he's 7. And he's not so great trying foods, but he loves chilli. So I mean, I just really, really test him. The poor little boy, he's just like, this is great.
It's called child abuse,
yeah,
Paul.
I know.
But come here, my darling.
Come here, I'm going to give you the hottest chili in the world. do you remember Fred, who used to do the chilies on the Ibiza Chili Company?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember going to his offices with Graham Sahara and one of the DJs on the island, and he wanted to give us a chili test. Mm. So he had it in its purest natural form, or like that, you know, what do you call it? Oh, in a little bottle. So it was like really super, super, super hot. So we had the hottest chili in the world on our tongues. Oh my God! I was all right, but my stomach was burning. I got sent a video of Graham later on in the evening, rolling round on his sofa with a duvet on. Yeah. Oh my God, the poor guy. We got ruined that day. So that was a little bit too hot. Yeah.
I love Graham's little white face after he's, back in the day when he used to play those residencies at Pacha, yeah, for like a whole summer. And then, you know, he's quite a pale man anyway, with some ginger hair and some beautiful freckles. He's gorgeous, but he was quite pale. And I can't imagine him being like puce and rolling around in bed covered in chili juice.
He had a bit of colour in his cheeks that day. Like, let's just say that. Oh my God. Yeah, I was cool. But I'm not going to inflict this on my son. No,
I think that's a good idea.
Just for Esther Ranson, if she's listening. Yeah, the child abuse doesn't go that far. Yeah,
yeah. One of my favourite people was Sid Shanti. Never got him on this podcast, tragically, and he doesn't live here anymore. So one of these days I will collar him when he comes to visit. But he and David Lindemann, one of my wonderful friends' husbands, set up Ibiza
Chili.
Oh, you weren't talking about that.
That's who I'm talking about.
They did that to me as well, yes, though, with that little squat round chili, the hottest.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Oh my God,
it's not normal and it's not good. Sid, they did it to me too.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, Sid, you're in for it next time we see you, and you need to come on this podcast.
I think we should do, yeah, we should do like a chili eating competition, and he could be basically tortured to death in the same way that he tortured us.
Yes, let's do it. Yeah, come round to ours, and we'll make him a super spicy pizza. Yeah.
I'm ready.
And we'll wallop him.
He needs a bit of a wallop. Right. Should we try this chicken as well? Okay. Can you do the honours while I hide the microphone?
Yes, of course. Okay, so we've got our... What's this called again?
Chicken chetnia.
Chetnia. Chicken chetnia.
Oh my God, I'm on the pickle now. Oh my God. Seriously. That is not a chili, thank God. You got the wrong one there. But Mm. That's got some serious kick to it, though.
What the chicken has?
No, the pickles.
Oh, the pickle, yeah. The pickle has definitely got a bit of kick to it. So this chicken is in like a really ground sort of coarsey sauce, he said. Mm. Let's have a taste. Oh my god, there's flavours in here. Honestly, guys, if you're in Ibiza, you need to go get to Sandra Lalia and come to Giteo. It's very, very special. Very special.
That actually beats the lamb for me. I've got to say, the chicken is just so tender and so just like literally melting in my mouth. It's too much.
They've cooked it better than I can cook it, and I think I make a pretty decent curry, and this is epic. This is absolutely beautiful. So I'm going in for the special naan. I've heard a lot about
it. How is the bullet? I haven't tried it yet.
I'm going to go for it now.
Is there actually any left?
No.
Oh, no. Okay. Go. He's proffering me a slice. I'm going into the bullet naan with the chicken.
This is insane. So we've got a little bit of green chilli in here.
Oh, my God.
Really taste the green chilli coming through.
Jesus.
That's special, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Come on, Joe. What a day.
I know, honestly, what a time to be alive.
Oh, yeah, this is great. I love Ibiza.
Oh, do you know what? Christ, actually, do you know what? That naan is the spiciest thing on the whole plate. Good God.
That is definitely...
There used to be a place that we used to go in Goa, in Assagao, called Gunpowder.
Yeah.
And I remember eating something slightly... That is actually fire. That is pure fire, that bullet in my mouth.
Yeah,
good God.
Right,
I feel like I've been shot.
That is epic. Yeah, we love that.
I'm glad we found a soundtrack to go with this podcast now.
Please don't put that on. Oh my God.
I can't promise.
There's a fire in your heart. You will move all mountains that stand in your
path till the end of all time. Is that coming out in Ibiza 2026 this summer?
Yeah, a little remix of it, yeah. It reminds me of the Cream days, raving at Cream.
Oh, I loved Cream. Oh, my God.
Bit of Oaky and Cream.
I mean, Gatecrasher, Garlands and Cream were just my three favourite clubs and festivals in the north.
They were brilliant. They're absolutely brilliant. I started off going to the Pleasure Dome in Birkenhead. That was kind of like one of my first clubbing experiences. And then she's asked me one of these long-winded questions again, by the way, so she can fill her face. I remember going to a place called Bowlers in Manchester. We are both suffering from chilli. I've just stuck my fingers in my eye and my eyes are watering.
You're actually crying.
I am actually trying to hold a very sensible interview and talk about Bowlers in Manchester. That was kind of like my second clubbing experience, and that was like a big warehouse, like loads of raving. But the north was pretty special, wasn't it, for raves back in the day?
You just, to be honest, you know, in my mixed mag days, sort of in my early 20s, that's when I started to go out. Garlands, Gatecrasher, Cream, and some other just dirty, filthy hellholes, which were just the most magical places that I ever got the pleasure to visit. But I just remember one time I was just standing on a podium. I'd gone to the after party after the Leeds Love Parade. I went a really, I don't know, a godforsaken place, and I was having a lot of fun. And this girl comes up to me, and I was, you know, having a good time. And she said, she came up to me and she went, "You look right fresh, you do."
Yeah.
And I was just like, literally fell off the podium laughing. It was just like, I've never looked worse in my whole, I've got a picture. And it was just like, it just, to this day, it just stays with me, because it was just like, northern people are just like the best. They're so kind and it's so sweet. And also, I don't know, she had a white stick, but it was very kind of her.
I'm sure you did look fresh. Oh no, do you know what? I had some amazing nights, especially up in Leeds. I used to go to Leeds quite a lot. I remember my friend put an event on, a techno event. We had UMEC was on, and Justin Robinson, and myself in the Corn Exchange in Leeds. It was brilliant. And then we went back to Stinky's Peephole, or Peephouse. I can't remember what it was called. Dirty little
Stinky's Peephole. Stinkies.
Yeah, something like this. It was a crazy little after hours stinky. Yeah, it was incredible. It wasn't any like anything weird going on in there before you ask. Oh my God, so we kind of lost the plot in there for a while, and I left all my vinyl there. like left the place, got back to Southport, had a gig that night, and I was like, where's my vinyl? I was like, oh my God, I've left it in Leeds.
No.
Yeah. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, it was a disastrous day that day. Oh my God. So yeah, I was like, I managed to get it back in the end. Someone actually brought it back, but that night's gig wasn't particularly good because I was playing a lot of like just vinyl I had at home and not my like my top picks. So, oh my God, yeah. But anyway, Northern Clubbing was very good, wasn't it?
Just the best. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it was just because it was my glory days of being in my early 20s and never having been out, you know, but that was when I really, really discovered, yeah, another part of me I didn't really know existed. And particularly when I moved actually to Tilburg in the north of Holland. I took my car with me and I'd never, you know, really been out at all. That was actually when I very, very, very first went clubbing to a place called the Roxy in Amsterdam. Okay. Went there.
They were always called like the Roxy or the Ritzy, weren't they? And like there was a lot of very cheesy names going on with the Hitman and Hair and stuff. Yeah. Sorry, interrupted you there. Go on.
same, but different. But it... But yeah, then I discovered a place called Zillion. So I had to drive across the border and go over to Belgium. And we used to go to either Café d'Anvers in Antwerp or go to Zillion, which is like 24-hour, 7 days a week club. And I mean, when I went in that place, you know, when you're leaving at like 5 or 6 in the morning or you're thinking you should probably go home and you see all these people coming in like fresh as daisies, ready to start their day on a Sunday morning, it's like, okay, that is how you do it. It was like, it was an education really and like on going out.
Yeah, I think we are very lost to it. I mean, it's such a common thing in like Berlin and Holland, yeah. It's such a common thing at like these 24-hour clubs, even longer. But yeah, I mean, it's just I wish it happened here in Ibiza. It would be amazing, wouldn't it? But like the laws have all changed here now, and we can't do a lot, but we make the most of it, don't we?
We do indeed. But don't you think that's why space was so special? Because it basically, pretty much apart from a little bit of cleaning here and there, it sort of never really shut.
Oh my God, like space was like the iconic club of our age, wasn't it really? Just some special moments in there, and especially that little tunnel upstairs and the yellow tube upstairs in the, I think it was the Premier Etage it was called, wasn't it? Oh my God, so, some conversations and friends were met there, and what special days. It was brilliant. Yeah, we loved it.
I know a guy actually called Miles. He's sadly no longer with us, but he was basically part of our crew in the very first time I came to Ibiza. And he was leaving. He was a banker. He worked in the city. He had to get back to work. And we'd been there all day on Sunday. So we were literally crying as we waved him off to go to the airport. And then basically he went to the airport and he promptly fell asleep and missed his flight. And he came back. And then he just like met his like wife on the podium about half an hour later. And they've, well, sadly, as I said, he's no longer here. But, yeah, you know, what an amazing, what like, is that
story,
sort of space?
No, what a beautiful story. And I think that like space is like holds so many memories for that. I remember a couple on the island. And I remember I played Lovers in the Air at Space Closing at like 11 in the morning. It was one of them special moments, and I had so many messages of like people had these special moments to me, and a lovely couple got engaged on the island to that. He got down on one knee and asked her to marry him, and yeah, beautiful. Really nice.
Curator of dreams.
There we go. Yes. I'm just looking at the angel wings behind you. Yeah.
I did actually have my photo taken there earlier. I was just like, oh, I just want to be an angel for 5 seconds.
I don't think that's ever going to happen, is it?
Not after everything I've just divulged.
No, definitely not. And I'm sure there's a lot more that we can't talk about. Yeah.
We won't go there. What about IMS? I mean, is that something that you attend every year?
No, I don't really go to IMS just because it's at a time of year that I know I'm going into a full on summer. But I've actually, I don't know if I can say this, actually, but Jan from Ushuaia and Hyde, the Night League, he has been offered the Legend Award this year. So I think I'm going to be DJing there. Which is really, really nice because I played at his wedding and this, that, and the other. So quite a big honour. Got asked yesterday, so I've yet to confirm, but yeah, hopefully it'll all happen and we'll make a special evening of it. Yeah.
And that's so cool. I mean, I don't know. I actually did interview him, like, I don't know, maybe 12 years ago when I first got here at IMS. And, you know, it was a bit of a weird one because back then he'd literally just opened Ushuaia and it was like, you know, one of those, I mean, Carl. Cox still had that Sands place out the front, and you know, everything was all changed in terms of the maneuverability of those different places and spaces on you know, Playa del Bossa. And it was like, you know, how he managed to engineer that whole situation is just quite, you know, it's a business empire kind of blueprint, I think, in terms of the way that he did that. It's like, it's the stuff that, you know, how somebody who's not even from here can come in and create that and go into partnership with the kinds of people that can make that happen is actually insane. And I think that, you know, he was sort of working in Barcelona in a beach club and met some people. And it's like, I can't wait to hear the story behind that. I think he's going to be on a panel with Pete Tong at IMS. And I'm very intrigued because he certainly didn't tell me the full details of that story.
Oh, well, yeah, I'll let him fill you in better than me. But yeah, oh my God, he's just such a, like, he loves his work. Like, he's so, so passionate about what he does. And what I love about him, he's one of them bosses that knows everything that's going on. He knows everything, like, and he knows everyone in the clubs as well. You know, I think you can get like a club owner who just be a little bit above, you know, mixing with like the bar staff or whatever. But like, honestly, like, he runs that place incredibly well. I don't know how he does it.
He doesn't drink, Paul. That's how he does it.
He doesn't drink. Yeah. This is true. And apparently, I've said to myself, I'm not going to drink this summer. Yeah. So we'll see. We shall see. The tequila will be put aside this summer. I probably have nobody in the DJ box with me. I just have loads of
friends.
That's
how you decide you have no friends.
I know. That's actually a really good idea, isn't it? Honestly, I think I did one night last year, and I said, oh, I just don't want anything on my rider. And the DJ box was empty most of the night. It was fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. No one wanted to know me that night.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
So you discover who your real friends are.
Exactly.
I used to meet Jan actually on the yearly, once a year. She'd only ever do it once a year because it was a lot of work. It was Lana Love from the Passion Cafe. She used to do like a detox, like a raw food detox. And he would be there every year when we'd go for the first day to pick up all the bits and bobs and be taught, you know, what to eat and when to eat and, you know, what went where. Quite complicated in terms of the protocol. But he was always there. And that's when I very, very, very first met him. And I was like, that man's going to go far. I don't know what it was, but, it, you know, he's definitely, the proof is in the old multiple nightclub pudding.
Definitely. I mean, he's so fixed on what he's doing. Like, he's just won like a jiu-jitsu competition in Dubai. But he's I don't know how he fits it all in. Like, he's trained for this, and he's ate properly, and like, I think he has more hours in a day than all us. Yeah, definitely. I think God's gifted him a lot more hours, because I don't know how he does it. I think it's brilliant. Quite inspirational, right?
Quite kind of annoying.
Yeah, annoying. Yeah. Go on, yeah.
Jog on, mate.
Jog on.
He probably would as well. He'd be doing laps around us.
And he beat us all. Yeah. definitely.
But how do you feel? Like, you know, you're celebrating 20 years of living on this island next year, and 25 years of marriage. We'll get that one in there. Yeah. So if Faye's listening, just in case. Next year is a big year for you. But how do you celebrate 20 years of, like, even surviving on this island and clearly thriving now?
Yeah, well, the plan was we were going to have a massive party. We're 50 next year as well. And we were going to have a big party. But I feel like we're getting a little bit too old for that. So I'd like to do something really, really special with the family, get some really close friends over, and just go for a nice paella and then back to ours and maybe get the decks on for a bit. And then it'll probably turn into an absolute two-day bender. But I'm going into this like it's just going to be, because for our 40th birthday, I don't really remember it. That was a heavy session. So I think for our 50th, we're going to be grown up, mature, and we'll just stay up for 2 days.
I just came back from the 50th of one of my best mates in Goa, and it was, you know, the same thing. She's actually been on this podcast once upon a time, Taryn Boynton, if anyone's looking. But literally, I went over there thinking I was going to be okay, and it was like a 7-day. She'd hired out this massive house. I went straight from the flight to her house for a shower and straight into the party. I mean, you know, I arrived there at like midday. I got out of there at 9 o'clock the next morning.
Oh my God, that sounds a bit special.
She told me it was going to be a quiet one.
Seven days. Mm. Oh my God, how were you feeling at the end of it?
Yeah, not so good.
Yeah, I bet you were calling Lana up, weren't you, for a detox?
No, Nana, have you got any of those raw crackers, yeah. darling?
Yes, exactly what you need, isn't it? Yeah. I could do with one of them myself, actually. So, Lana, let's do it. Yeah.
I don't think she comes out of retirement these days. It was just so much work for her. It's like, I don't think she has time.
She's incredible, isn't she? Yeah, she's another person on this island that is absolutely took life by the horns and smashed it. Yeah.
She's like the kind of the Jan Pissenham of the raw cracker world.
She has a raw cracker world, yeah.
If it's not from the food perspective, where is it on the island that you go and you're just like, oh my God, I just need a little moment for me? Is there a place that you can not maybe let the cat out of the bag too much, but perhaps enlighten us as to where you go to decompress?
Do you know, we really love going to Calavadea. It's only like a 15-minute drive from where we live, and I just feel like we've gone into another world. I love the beach there.
So we are fat as the butcher's dogs and very happy puppies we are.
Yes, definitely getting back on a diet. I think maybe I'll start Monday, as the old phrase goes.
We both had a very spicy incident in the eye department as well, which is quite entertaining.
Yes, we did. Yeah, do you know what? I picked up one of the pieces of naan bread before and put the chili in my eye, and it was stinging me. And Joe was really, really laughing her head off at me. And about 5 minutes ago, she did the same. So I am I'm very, very happy that happened. Sorry.
You got your own back on me asking long-winded questions and stuff in my face. That's what did it, wasn't it?
Most definitely. But that meal was very, very sensational, wasn't it?
It was actually quite ridiculous, and we've struggled to finish it, but we sort of actually did basically force it down because it was just too good to waste. But which was your favourite bit?
You know, I really like the tandoori chicken. It's something I never normally order because it was quite dry. But this one of my friends had recommended it, and it was very, very juicy and really like a beautiful flavour in it. And I like the chicken
chetnya.
The chicken chetnya was definitely a big favourite, and the lamb as well, but falling apart. Everything was beautiful, and the lovely homemade pickles. And yeah, I think we've enjoyed every little bit, especially that naan. Yeah,
I think you should take that home with you, actually, and just just make sure you don't rub your fingers anywhere else.
Has happened in the past, but we won't go there on this podcast, eh?
Let's not end it like that,
no,
Paul.
No.
It was also very above board until now.
No, we were laying on a good note, yes, definitely.
All above the tablecloth. It's been so lovely to get to know you a little bit more, and I'm very excited to come and see you in action with the big man, Carl Cox, at some point this summer.
Oh my God, yeah, give us a shout. We'll have a little night out. I might even come out for time and have a few tequilas that night.
A wild man in that wild corner of cosmic. What's it called? The comet corner.
Wild comet, and wild corner.
Amazing. Thank you so much, and good luck for the launch of Melon Bomb this year.
Thank you very much, Joe. That was amazing.
Reset Rebel. It's the